Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So it turns out it wasn't all helicopters and scandal investigations in Albany this week. The governor did do some governing, too. On Wednesday, he signed 100 bills and vetoed 26 others. He enacted the country's first airline passengers Bill of Rights, approved New York City's first child care tax credit, and vetoed a bill to increase fines for shooting big game animals. He also vetoed one that would prevent the outsourcing of local fire departments and a bill that would have paid workers' comp benefits to those who worked on vehicles damaged on 9/11. This morning, we're going to talk about one of the vetoes that's broken through the scandal stories. To get some additional coverage, Governor Spitzer's veto of Senate Bill 3201, Assembly Bill 3366, that would have tried to steer welfare recipients to non-traditional, and the thought is higher paying, jobs and training. It had passed the legislature, get this, unanimously, and was seen by supporters as a corrective to the welfare reforms of the 90s that some feel too often result in adding to the roles of working poor. Joining me now to talk about this bill and the issues it addresses are one of its champions, Democratic New York State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan, and one of the architects of the welfare to work reforms of the 90s, Ron Haskins of the Brookings Institution, who supports the veto. Welcome back, Senator Krueger. Nice to talk to you again. Mr. Haskins, hello.
Hi, Brian.
Good to be here.
Liz Krueger, just lay out for our listeners who may not have heard about it what this bill was trying to do as you see it.
Okay. This bill was a small beginning attempt to get the welfare programs in New York State to recognize the importance of integrating welfare policy and workforce development by providing as one option, again, just one option, to mostly women who are moving through the public assistance, employment, and work programs, the possibilities of moving into non-traditional employment programs that statistically pay higher rates of income. And again, fundamentally, the argument for me, and I don't think the governor disagrees based on reading his veto, we need to move women and their children out of poverty. It's not enough 10 years down the line from welfare reform to simply say we move them off of welfare. We need to increase their incomes and end poverty.
Ron Haskins, what was wrong with the way this bill tried to do that, in your opinion?
There are several things, but the most important thing is that we have, as a nation, gone to a new system, some would say a radically new system, in which we absolutely require people, especially mothers, but fathers if they happen to have custody, who go on welfare to work. And we've done that with several measures, the two most important of which are that benefits are reduced if mothers do not look for work and eventually find work, and there's a five-year time limit on welfare. So those are two radical changes that occurred in the legislation in 1996. The result of that has been exactly the outcome that Senator Krueger wants. I don't know why she thinks poverty has not gone down. Mothers went to work in droves. It's one of the most impressive performances of any public policy in our lifetime, that thousands and thousands of mothers went to work in New York.
Mr. Haskins, let me zero in for a second on what you just said, because what I generally read on this of a very general nature is that the welfare rolls have gone down dramatically. The percentage of Americans in poverty has stayed about the same. Is that not right, in your opinion?
Yeah. No, look, the government publishes these statistics. In fact, they're coming out with another year, 2006, on August 28th. Poverty plummeted. Black child poverty reached its lowest level ever, and overall child poverty was very close to its lowest level ever, as was Hispanic child poverty. And the reason is absolutely clear in the census data. It's because of earnings. Because millions, literally, of low-income mothers that used to be on welfare, left welfare, went to work, and got these jobs that Senator Krueger does not like, for the average was about $8 or $8.50 an hour. And this is the second point I was going to make. Government directly helped those mothers. No government helps them more than anywhere in the country than New York. Mm-hmm. With cash supplements through the Earned Income Tax Credit, child care subsubsidies, food stamps, and above all, every single child's eligible for Medicaid.
Okay.
Brian, I just want to challenge Mr. Haskins here. I'm reading a report that was financed by the U.S. government, and it was a five-year evaluation of moving people from welfare to work, the National Evaluation of Welfare to Work Strategies, and to quote, even after 5 years, most people were earning relatively low wages between $7 and $8 per hour. 70 to 85% earned less than $10,000 in their fifth year out. Outcomes were not much different for those who went through these welfare programs versus control groups. Now, I'm not challenging any of Mr. Haskin's analysis of what the welfare law did. It did move people off of welfare. It did put five-year limits in. Our bill doesn't change that or change the requirement to go into work and work activities. We're saying it's time for government to say we need to help poor women be moving into the kinds of jobs and career paths that will move them out of poverty, move their children out of poverty. And anyone who lives in New York City knows that a job that's averaging $8 an hour after 5 years of work isn't going to get you anywhere. Who's kidding who?
Now, let me be very clear on this, because I think the nub of the debate among advocates has been over whether this would actually dissuade people on welfare from moving into the workforce. The current law, as you said, Senator Krueger, does require that after a five-year lifetime maximum that people on welfare, and we're talking in this case mostly about single mothers with children, be working or lose their benefits. You're saying that would not change under this bill? They wouldn't have additional excuses to delay under this bill?
No, it's saying that the government agencies who are, frankly, we're spending a lot of money on to develop work plans, employment plans, and required activities for these people on public assistance aren't even allowed to consider the options of expanding the openings to non-traditional employment programs.
What do you mean, Arnold? I mean, people who
on the list.
People
if
who
I...
want welfare, who are on welfare, who want to work, aren't they allowed to consider any job where that they can get?
No, they have to go through the program and only go to an approvable activity. And right now in New York State, or at least our Department of Social Services here in New York City, HRA, doesn't even list these programs or make these options. The irony, of course, for us, if you live in New York City, is we're having a construction boom. We're actually hearing that the trades can't find enough people to work these really good-paying jobs. So why we'd spend government funds to direct women away from the possibility of these good-paying jobs seems ridiculous.
All right, Ron Haskins, what's wrong with that?
I don't think I have not been to the maybe she's the senator visits some offices in New York, but I visit offices all over the country. There are absolutely no restrictions on what jobs the mothers can look for. In fact, probably the single most successful program, fairly simple, is that they put the mothers in a room. They usually give them a day or maybe a week. It depends on which state and locality. But they teach them how to look for a job, how to interview, how to do a resume and so forth. And then they put them in a room and help them find contacts. They look at newspapers and they look at the state unemployment insurance system, all the jobs that are listed. And then they start making phone calls and they go for job interviews. That is the essence of welfare reform, looking for jobs that are available in the local economy. And there are no restrictions. Now, the restriction comes because in New York and elsewhere, overwhelming majority of the mothers do not even have a high school diploma. They are not qualified for jobs at $20 an hour. If they can get one, all the better for them. But they can't usually. So they start at $8 an hour, which is that's what happens when you drop out of high school.
Although, by the way, the data shows they're not only starting at $8 an hour, they're never getting past $8 an hour. And one of the interesting things, Mr. Haskins, about some of the non-traditional employment opportunities we're talking about here in New York, nobody in construction is required to have a high school degree. So I'm a big believer in education, and Brian Lehrer knows we have a lot of work to do to expand our high school graduation rate. But these kinds of jobs can actually be open and available to women and men who didn't get a high school degree because of the types of jobs they are. So what we're saying with this legislation, and by the way, while the governor vetoed the bill, he actually lauded the goals of the bill, is to say we want to help support and direct people into these better paying jobs if it's a match. It won't be a match for everyone. You're absolutely right. But let's try to make sure that it's one of the options in front of the workers as they are assigned to try to direct these
women Senator, into work. As you said, the governor lauded the goals of the bill, and the governor is planning to have the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance try to accomplish the same ends, he says, by increasing the use of existing federal funds for education and vocational skills training. Why isn't that sufficient?
Well, our concern is that recommending it to an agency and actually having it get done are two different things. I'm a legislator, so I look at the perspective of legislation. The federal law mandated any number of requirements on us in welfare rules. We, the state of New York, have the authority to actually implement local state laws, and I think this is a smart move. I respect that. While I am disappointed with the governor's decision, I respect that I think he understands where we're trying to go here, and we will go back to the boards with this. But my concern is if an agency, and HRA has been fairly outspoken on this, doesn't want to change what they're doing, then they won't unless there's some kind of legislative requirement. And here's the other truth. If you're HRA, I spent 20 years of my life doing advocacy and working with them before I was a legislator. I'm not blaming them, but they're in a very bureaucratic model of mark your boxes. How many people did you get moved off of your list today? And your list, you don't get any extra points for moving women out of poverty, just getting them out of your office. I'm saying 10 years after welfare reform, the data's in. It is time to take the next step of saying the job of government is not done unless we're helping these women and their children actually move out of poverty, not just move them from one form of poverty to another.
My guests on WNYC, as we talk about a bill that passed the New York State Legislature unanimously this week, but then was vetoed by Governor Spitzer to encourage higher-paying work referrals for people on welfare currently going into the workfare program. Democratic New York State Senator Liz Krueger of Manhattan, one of the champions of the bill, and Ron Haskins, currently of the Brookings Institution. He was one of the architects of the welfare to work reforms in Congress in the 90s. Mr. Haskins, on Senator Krueger's last answer, it implies the basic social contract in the United States. Workfare rather than welfare is pretty broadly agreed upon across the land now. But it still doesn't answer the question of the basic social contract. If people are required to work, even if they can't find a job in the private sector for their benefits, does the social contract not require that they be given a living wage and not a wage that would keep them and their children in poverty?
No, I don't know what the contract exactly is that you're thinking of. Every state and every city in the United States have a right to draw up their own, and
right.
As you're using,
I'm not talking
contract,
about a written contract. I'm talking about right and wrong in our society.
Okay, well, here's what's right. You had millions of mothers, over 5 million, or 90% of them were women, with children on welfare, and the average length of stay was something like 8 years. There are a lot of people that went in and out, but a lot of people stayed on welfare year after year, and when they left, they went back. So Congress decided, and working with his governors, decided to do something about it. So they required mothers to work. But they also created an entirely new system with literally dozens of pieces of legislation, both at the federal and state level, to subsidize low-income workers. So the Earned Income Tax Credit, which we now spend $35 billion a year on, both New York City and New York State have supplements to their Earned Income Tax Credit. Food stamps, many of these mothers get up to $2,000 in food stamps even after they take their job. The kids are covered by Medicaid. We've more than doubled the amount of money for child care. So government is fulfilling its part of the contract, not just by encouraging and where necessary requiring work, but by subsidizing it through the Earned Income Tax Credit, food stamps, and so forth. And we're spending a minimum of probably $60, $70, $80 billion at the federal and state level so that these mothers do not have to live on the $8 an hour or $10,000 or $11,000 a year. Many of them are up to $18,000, $19,000, or $20,000. Now, you can say, and Senator Krueger will, I'm sure, that that's not, you can't live on $20,000 in New York City, but it's better than trying to live on the $9,000 or $10,000 you would have gotten on welfare.
I'm not disagreeing with Mr. Haskins here, Brian. I think that the reality is if we are not able to help people move up and out of poverty through the workforce, we do have a social and moral responsibility to make sure that their basic needs of food and housing and health care and their children's needs are taken
care of.
And
he's saying the government is doing its part to fulfill their side of the contract when you take the low-paying jobs plus the earned income tax credit. And the governor, by the way, in this same bill signing, did sign a New York City child care tax credit and take into account food stamps and take into account Medicaid and all of those things.
Right. So I don't think Mr. Haskins and I disagree on that, although I will add to the point, and I don't think he'll disagree with me. It would be great if we could move more of these families into living wage jobs where they wouldn't need government subsidies to meet their basic needs. And so if there are any opportunities out there to support and to enable women who currently, and as we know, the labor market is still incredibly discriminatory towards women's wages, if we can help steer women into some of those jobs out there that do pay living wages, why would we object?
Senator Krueger, how did this bill come to be passed unanimously by both houses with no hearings, especially since it was opposed so vigorously by municipalities, including New York City?
Well, as you know, Brian, we statistically have very few hearings on any bills that go through Albany, whether by frustrations and reforms I have been trying to move along with the Senate Democrats. This bill, like so many, moved through its committee and then to the floor for a vote. It was sponsored by my colleague, Val Minette Montgomery, a Democrat in the Senate and our ranker on the Social Services Committee. It moved through that committee's agenda onto the floor. And between you and I and your listeners, I was a little surprised to see all my Republican colleagues sign on also, but there they did.
So now that the governor has vetoed it, do you think it will fare as well in September, or is there a chance that there'll be enough defections that the veto won't be overridden?
Well, very few of the bills that are vetoed by a governor are ever brought to the floor for an override, so it's not some automatic scenario that every bill he's vetoing will be brought to the floor.
You guys passed this unanimously.
I know, and so you would have to ask Joe Bruno how he's going to handle that and when he's going to bring it to the floor, because as your listeners know, no bill comes to the floor of the New York State Senate for vote or for override unless Joe Bruno has decided to do so, even though I don't think that's a very good model of government. So we need to get Joe Bruno on the phone here.
Senator, just describe very briefly, and I want to get Mr. Haskins' reaction before you both go, and then we talk about this new permit and insurance requirement for photographers in New York City that the mayor is considering. Can you explain very briefly the sex role job aspect of this? It's about non-traditional jobs for women, things that are traditionally men's jobs. Where does that come in?
Well, it's actually a term that's been used by many groups who are working on helping women move into jobs that have not traditionally been open to them, with skilled construction work, electronics, laborers, trades jobs. Those jobs technically usually pay significantly better than many of the types of jobs that are more available to women with low education levels entering the workforce. And there's been an effort to support women being able to move into these better paying jobs that give them equal opportunity to the same types of employment.
You're
and
talking
career paths
about construction and what else primarily?
Well, it could be construction, it could be electrical work, it could be utility work, it could be what we often call the trades here in New York State and New York City. They involve vocational skills, but not necessarily require high levels of education.
Mr. Haskins,
they statistically pay more.
What's wrong with having these welfare offices try to make more of those kinds of jobs available?
There's nothing wrong with that. The question is whether you can pass legislation that could have all kinds of other effects to order offices to behave in a certain way. Here's something I don't understand. The governor's a Democrat. This bill was sponsored primarily by Democrats. And here we have Senator Krueger on the phone arguing on its behalf. All this required here is administrative action to tell the caseworkers that actually you know, have face-to-face relationships with mothers and try to help them to get a job, to say, look at these other jobs first. That's the essence of the issue here. You don't need a law to do that. It's to the advantage of the welfare department. It's to the advantage of the governor. It's to everybody's advantage for a mom to get any job that she can snatch out there in the market. And no one would be against that, no citizen, no voter, no welfare worker. So just tell them to start doing it that way if Senator Krueger thinks they're not doing it now. I'm surprised to hear they're not doing it now. I know a lot of places in the country where they are trying to do that. They get the best jobs they can.
Well, Mr. Haskins has an excellent recommendation. This bill was developed over several years when we had a Republican governor who refused to consider asking his agencies through regulation to do this. So we were trying to do it legislatively. We did it legislatively this year in the first few months of the Spitzer administration, and maybe he's exactly right. Now we go to the Spitzer administration and say, okay, you couldn't pass the law for various technical reasons. Let's just get this done through regulation as a new governor. So thank you. I will follow up with them, Mr. Haskins.
Oh, there you go. Maybe a moment of common ground that's actually going to result in something. Before you go, Senator Krueger, there's this matter of a typo in the bill. The bill defines sustainable wage as 185% above the federal poverty rate.
It is a typo. It should have been of the federal poverty level. Brian, take a look at our budget bills every year. You will laugh hysterically at the number of typos that go through
legislation. But this is such a key thing. It would define sustainable wage, therefore, as 285% of the poverty rate. So that would require a whole different level of jobs. That would need to be fixed, right?
That would, and that could easily be fixed through literally a one-sentence chapter amendment saying replace above
you agree
with
that, that
yes,
is a
that
typo.
Was absolutely
and
a
did
typo.
You see the front page article in the Times today, for young earners in big city, gap shifts in women's favor. And it says young women in New York and several of the nation's other largest cities who work full time have forged ahead of men in wages, according to an analysis of recent census data.
And that ends up being for college-educated women. We should have a whole other show on that.
No, that's not true. This is true of high school dropouts and high school graduates, too. Women work more than men, especially minority women. There are astounding differences between the work levels and now, according to New York Times, the wages of low-income women. Brian, can I make a point here that I think it unfortunately gotten kind of trounced in this discussion?
Real quick.
And in the legislation. The point is, even at the lower rate, it's $17 an hour that Senator Krueger wants, and I want the same thing. But we have been trying for years to figure out ways to help people who dropped out of high school, males and females, earn higher wages, and the programs have been an abysmal failure. It'll take more than a law. It'll take more than an administrative guideline to figure out a way for people who dropped out of high school to hold a job at $17 an hour, let alone to start at that rate.
Ron Haskins of the Brookings Institution, New York State Senator Liz Krueger, Democrat from Manhattan. Thanks to both of you for coming on today.
Thank you, Brian.
Nice
to actually talk about policy in New York State as opposed to scandal investigations. Coming up in a minute, a new policy that may come from Mayor Bloomberg's office. Comments for the public closed yesterday on possible new permit and insurance requirements for photographers. Some say it's a knock against free speech. Stay with us.